Understanding the economic cycle. All countries experience regular ups and downs in the growth of output, jobs, income and spending. These fluctuations form what is known as the economic or business cycle. A chart below tracks the level of UK real GDP since 1979. Over a 30-year period, there have been three recessions. The data is GDP per quarter in pound BILLION, expressed at constant prices. Source: Reuters EcoWin. Boom. A boom occurs when real national output is rising at a rate faster than the trend rate of growth. Some of the main characteristics of a boom include: a fast growth of consumption, helped by rising real incomes, strong confidence and perhaps a surge in house prices and other personal wealth. A pickup in the demand for capital goods as businesses look to invest in expanding their capacity to meet rising demand and to make higher profits. The link between the growth of demand and investment is known as the accelerator effect. More jobs and falling unemployment and higher real wages for people in jobs. A high demand for imports, which may cause the economy to run a larger trade deficit because it cannot supply all of the goods and services that consumers are demanding. Government tax revenues will be rising quickly as people are earning and spending more, and companies are making larger profits. This gives the government the option of raising its own spending in priority areas such as education, the environment, health and transport. A danger of an increase in demand pull and cost push inflationary pressures if the economy overheats and experiences a positive output gap. The UK enjoyed sustained growth over the last 15 from 1993 through to the end of 2008, but for better examples of booming countries we have to look overseas. The obvious example is China, whose growth has been astonishing. And many other emerging market countries have experienced a decade or more of phenomenally rapid increases in the size of their economies. The BRIC countries have aroused particular interest from economists interested in understanding their very fast rates of growth and development. In addition to China, the BRIC nations include Brazil, Russia, and India. Among the group of leading advanced nations that form the OECD, the fastest growing countries have been South Korea and Ireland. Ireland's growth gave her the name of Europe's Celtic Tiger economy. But over the last couple of years, that growth has slipped away, and Ireland has now fallen into a deep recession. Slowdown. A slowdown occurs when the rate of growth decelerates, but national output is still rising. If the economy grows without falling into recession, this is called a soft landing. Recession. A recession is a hard landing and means a fall in the level of real national output, that is, a period when the rate of growth is negative, leading to a contraction in employment, incomes, and profits. There is in fact more than one definition and measurement of a recession. The simple definition: a fall in real GDP for two consecutive quarters, that is 6 months. The more detailed definition: a recession is a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy, lasting more than a few months, normally visible in real GDP, real income, employment, industrial production, and wholesale retail sales. After 16 years of growth, Britain dropped into recession in the second half of 2008. By the summer of 2009, UK GDP was already 5% lower than the fourth quarter of 2007. There are many symptoms of a recession. Here is a selection of 12 key indicators. 1. A fall in purchases of components and raw materials from supply chain businesses. 2. A fall in real national output, GDP. 3. Rising unemployment. 4. A rise in the number of business failures. 5. A decline in consumer and business confidence. 6. A contraction in total consumer spending, and a rise in the percentage of income saved. 7. Falling business capital spending. 8. A sharp drop in the value of exports and imports of goods and services. 9. Deep price discounts offered by businesses. 10. Heavy destocking as businesses look to cut unsold stocks when demand is weak. 11. Government tax revenues are falling. 12. The budget fiscal deficit is rising quickly. The difference between a recession and a depression. A slump or a depression is a prolonged and deep recession leading to a significant fall in output and average living standards. What are the main causes of a recession? Recessions are unusual. To some economists, they are an inevitable feature of the market economy, because of the cyclical nature of output, demand, and employment. Every recession is different. It is undeniable that the global credit crunch has been hugely significant in causing the downturn, even though macroeconomic policy has tried hard to prevent it. The 2009 recession in the UK was the result of a combination of domestic and external economic factors and forces. 1. The end of the property boom. Falling house prices have hit wells and led to a large contraction in new house building. 2. Reductions in real disposable incomes due to wages rising less quickly than prices. 3. The laggard effects of rising interest rates in 2007-08, a tightening of monetary policy. 4. A sharp fall in consumer confidence, made worse by rising unemployment, leading to an increase in saving. Keynes called this the backquote paradox of thrift. 5. External events, such as recession in the UK's major trading partners including the USA, which accounts for 15% of UK trade, and the euro area, which has 55% of UK trade. 6. UK exports have declined and this has hit manufacturing industry hard. 7. Cutbacks in production have led to a negative multiplier effect causing a decline in demand for consumer/household services and lower sales and profits for supply chain businesses. 8. The credit crunch has caused the supply of credit to dry up, affecting millions of businesses and homeowners. 9. Falling profits and weaker demand has caused a fall in business sector capital investment, known as the negative accelerator effect. 10. Unemployment has started to rise early in the downturn, a reflection of our flexible labor market and sticky wages. An important evaluation point is that, in a recession, some businesses are affected more than others. The extent of the effects will depend on the type of business, the market it operates in, and the nature of the product sold. When average incomes are falling, we would expect to see a decline in demand for products with a high income elasticity of demand. Typically, these goods and services are regarded as luxury items by consumers, things that they might choose to do without when the economy is going through a bad time. The demand for products with a negative income elasticity of demand, that is inferior goods, might actually rise during a recession. Recovery. A recovery occurs when real national output picks up from the trough reached at the low point of the recession. The pace of recovery depends in part on how quickly AD starts to rise after a downturn. And the extent to which producers raise output and rebuild their stock levels in anticipation of a rise in demand. The state of business confidence plays a key role here. Any recovery in production might be subdued, If businesses anticipate that a recovery will be only temporary or weak in scale, an economic recovery might follow a deliberate attempt to stimulate demand using macroeconomic policies. In the case of the UK in 2009, a number of strategies have been used to boost confidence and demand and prevent the recession turning into a damaging depression. 1. Cuts in interest rates. The policy interest rate fell to 0.5% in the autumn of 2008, and they have stayed at this low level ever since, 0.5% at the time of writing in August 2010. 2. A rise in government borrowing. The budget deficit rose above £150 billion in 2009, and government borrowing is likely to remain high for some time to come. 3. A policy of quantitative easing, QE, by the Bank of England, to pump more money into the banking system in a bid to increase the supply of loans. 4. A temporary cut in the standard rate of VAT from 17.5% to 15%, now reversed. Indeed, VAT will rise to 20% in 2011. 5. The launch of a car scrappage scheme for older cars worth up to £2,000 per car and a consumer subsidy for households replacing their old boilers. The German economy shows signs of recovery. After a terrible 2009 in which real GDP dropped by 4.9%, the German economy has posted the biggest increase in her quarterly GDP since West was unified with the East. German gross domestic product expanded by 2.2% rate in the second quarter, compared with the previous 3 months. German industry is riding on the back of a rebound in demand in the global economy. Her manufacturing businesses are closely tied to swings in the world economic cycle, allied to the competitive boost of the recent depreciation of the euro against the US dollar. The French economy also showed signs of renewed growth. But elsewhere, the so-called peripheral economies, including Greece, Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Portugal, the PIGS, continue to see weak growth in the continued fallout from their sovereign debt problems. The Eurozone remains a two-speed economy, but European Union growth, which includes the UK, is now outperforming the pace of expansion in the United States. The key question is whether it can last. The unwinding of the Celtic Tiger economy. Until the global financial crisis struck, Ireland was heralded as a shining example of how to run a successful modern economy. But it has fallen harder than most during the recession, and the banking system and the economy are in a mess. So what has gone wrong? The Irish economy is once again in a horrendous state. Unemployment has surged from 4.6% in 2007 to 11.6% in 2009, and the vision of mass immigration haunts the Emerald Isle. While Ireland has been poor for much of its history, this time it comes after a period at the top of the economic rankings. In 1988, The Economist referred to it as the poorest of the rich European countries, yet by 2006 it was the richest per head of any European country after Luxembourg. What caused this growth? There is broad agreement that key factors in Ireland's achievements in the 1990s were as follows. 1. Low corporate taxation rate, 10 to 12.5% throughout the late 1990s. 2. Net transfer payments from members of the European Union. 3. Ireland's membership in the European Union, since 1973, also helped the country gain access to Europe's large markets. 4. The increase of investment in the education system and physical infrastructure. 5. Few sources of a relatively large low-wage labor pool remained in Western Europe. 6. A youthful population, within the EU 15 group, Ireland had over 40% of the population under the age of 25. The proportionally largest economically active age group was aged 16 to 64. And there was a rapidly expanding labour supply. Some say that the biggest contribution to the Irish miracle came from, quite simply, more people working. 7. In the 1990s, the provision of subsidies and investment capital by Irish organisations such as the Industrial Development Agency, IDA, encouraged companies like Dell, Intel, and Microsoft to locate in Ireland. 8. A favourable time zone difference allowed Irish employees to work the first part of each day while US workers slept. 9. Ireland's ability to provide a stable business environment. The building of the International Financial Services Centre in Dublin led to the creation of 14,000 high-value jobs in the accounting, legal and financial management sectors. What went wrong? The Irish economy hit the wall on 29 September 2008. The US investment bank Lehman Brothers had collapsed, and financial markets around the world tumbled. The Irish Stock Exchange, which is heavily weighted to its banks, collapsed by a record 7%, its biggest slump in 11 years. With the banks now being hit hard by the credit crunch, they restricted their lending, and less lending means less borrowing and reduced spending, hence falling aggregate demand and national income. House prices in Ireland have now lost more than 50% from the peak of the market in 2006. People who felt there was big profits to be made in the building sector were exposed to falling prices and even negative equity. This is when the value of a property is less than the money still owed on it. Furthermore, property developers started to go bankrupt and this left the trading banks with huge bad debts. With this near collapse of the banking sector, the government has bought approximately €80 billion of loans from the banks and shifted them into a so-called backquote bad bank, the National Asset Management Agency, NAMA. It is hoped that this will kickstart the banks into lending again and therefore increase economic activity. 101B1C, 2A2B2C, 3A3B3C 3rd, 4A4B 4C 4D, 5A5B, 6A6B 6C. The Irish government's finances have also been severely impacted by the crisis. Government borrowing in 2009 was at 9% of GDP, borrowing had tripled between 2007 and 2009. Approximately €1 in €5 spent by the Irish government will be used to service these debts. What is more worrying is that the borrowing target of 9.5% of GDP, or about €17.5 billion, might have to be exceeded, given the level of current economic activity. In previous recessions, Ireland has been able to devalue its currency to boost exports and the economy in general. However, this isn't an option as Ireland is now part of the euro currency.